does. Well, we are glad you're here today. A couple prayer requests before we get started. Sherry Koontz had been in the hospital this past week for kidney problems, and she is home. She came home Friday. Karen Eckert made it home from Haiti. She probably wishes she was back in that weather again. Bibi's brother was back in the hospital. He has an infection around his heart and had gone home, but he is back in the hospital now. And we've been praying for a young lady named Becky Greenlee. She is a guidance counselor in the Greencastle schools. Had a heart attack in church a couple of weeks ago. They called the family in, the husband in, and said, what do you want to do with her organs? They had written her off as, you know, being brain dead and everything else. They chose not to take the ventilator from her. They were getting ready to come back to the hospital to make all those preparations when they got a call from the hospital saying that she moved her eyes. And this is the latest. I got this morning from Kathleen Glazer-Armacost. She said, praise God, Becky has passed her neuro test today with flying colors. This was sent the 20th. It was Friday. The neurologist said he expects 100% recovery. She needs a lot of rest for her heart and her body to fight any possible infection. Most of us know how hard it is for Becky to be still. Pray for her health, that she stays calm. Visitors are still being restricted. Our God is an awesome God. Keep thanking him for his amazing miracle. A good friend says Becky is a miracle on 86th Street. So she's doing well, but keep praying for her. They have five children. Two of them are twins at the age of three. And so... Dick. And so be praying for. Okay. Here's the deal today. Dick said it's really strange seeing something in front of me. It is. It's really strange. But I want to conduct this a little bit differently this morning than normal. And it's not because we have a small crowd. It's because this was planned. Back on October 2nd, I preached a sermon called They Keep in Touch with God. And it was on prayer. And during that message, I said that if you had any questions that you would like to answer about prayer, write them down, because I knew that in January I was going to preach a whole series on prayer. And so I received some questions, basically from two people. But then on October 3rd, I posted it on my blog about what I was doing, and I received a lot of comments from people and them saying, here are questions not only that I have, but I am asked about. And so what I've done is I've taken the questions that I received from our people, and then the ones from the bloggers, and I've kind of capsulized some of them, put some of them, and I just want to basically... If I can say this I want this to be a big class today. I don't have the pretense of being an answer man, okay? At least I don't hope it's not seen that way, that I have all the answers. Therefore, I am not doing this from the floor. I'm not asking you to pop a question out to me about prayer. This is pre-planned, okay? I'm not going to take your questions from the floor, but I have questions. They're in your bulletin. They're going to be flashed up on the screen. You're going to need your Bibles, because we're going to, the title is God Has Answers. Not Bill Has Answers, but God Has Answers. And so you will need your Bible, because as we ask a question or make a statement, I'm going to take you to the Scriptures. Okay? That to me is the best and the safest way to go anyway. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to pray first, ask God's presence to be here in a very special way this morning, and then let's just get started by getting right into the questions and statements, okay? So let's pray first, and then we'll get started. Father, thank you for the good news about Becky, and thank you that Sherry's home, and thank you for bringing Karen home. We still pray for Bibi's brother. I pray today for the memorial service for little Briley Joe that I'll be doing this afternoon. And I pray that your presence will be felt in that room as well, that as as I give the memorial service toward this little baby that lived 20 minutes, that you'll gird up the parents and strengthen them and the grandparents and the family members. And you'll just give me the right words to say. And I pray for those who were unable to be here today. I ask that they'll take some time today to spend some time with you. But I thank you for those who are here, for those who came out. You have said that, as I mentioned earlier, that wherever two or three are gathered, you're there. And it used to be that I used to get really bummed when there wasn't a full house. But I realized, Lord, that when people came, they come because they want to be here. They come because they want to hear something. And so I pray that's what happens today, that as we talk about these questions or statements that probably most of us have asked, either some or all of them, I pray that you will speak to our hearts this morning to show us your word and encourage us and help us to realize how important prayer is. And I pray for wisdom as we study. I pray for grace as we study. And I pray that you'll help me to remember what I have studied. And thank you, Father, for being here. Thank you for your presence. And I pray that as I bring this message, that you'll help me to step aside and they will see Jesus and Jesus only. In his name I pray. Amen. Okay, God has answers. Question statement number one. Whenever we get there. Did she go out? Okay, well, just... She should not have done that. Well, they already said I was praying long enough. Question number one. Or statement number one. And now these could be put into questions, okay? But they were given to me as statements, and so I just did them as they are. I am too insignificant for God to even spend his time listening to me. When I looked at that, I thought, you know, that is something that many of us do ask. And when you consider the vastness of the universe, when you consider the number of people on this planet, and you consider the number of people who go to God, maybe even at the same time, and then you consider that we live in tiny Spencer, Indiana, it is real easy to feel insignificant, is it not? But let me point you to a couple scriptures, I think, that answer this question. The first one is in Psalm chapter 8. So if you go to Psalm chapter 8, I want to read a couple verses there, and then we'll hop over to another psalm after that. Psalm chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. And I'm sure that many of you have heard this before. You could probably quote it. When I look at your heavens, the work of your hands, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? So the psalmist David here is saying, you know, God, when I see the vastness, how can I matter to you? Now, let's go to Psalm 139 because he answers his own question. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 18. And again, you've probably heard this passage before, but I think it tells the answer. For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret. Intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance or body. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I were to count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am with you. When you consider what the psalmist is saying, when you consider that God knew you before you were even a speck in your parents' eyes, and that he knit you and formed you together in your mother's womb, when you consider all of that, the psalmist says, God, I matter to you. That's my paraphrase. He's saying, I cannot believe this, that God's thoughts were on me from the very beginning. That he put me together. He knit me together. And these verses tell us that we matter to God. That insignificance, this idea that we are insignificant to God, gets hit in the solar plexus. It loses its oomph when you realize that he has made us in his what? Image. And when we've been made in his image, we matter to him. And this is the truth. He always has time for us. That ought to tell you, insignificance takes a hike. So we are not insignificant when it comes to him, and then therefore we can pray. Now, a lot of these are going to build on top of another. There's question number two, or statement number two. Here it is. The answer will be something I don't want to hear, or I am not prepared to hear. Been there, done that one? Someone has said, and we're going to touch on this also next week, but someone has said that God answers us in three ways. Yes, what? No, and wait. We like the yes answer, don't we? Because why? That means God has agreed with me. I have made a request. God has said, yes, yes, yes. And we're going, yes, I like that. He has agreed with me. We're not real crazy about the no, though, are we? Because when we ask God and he says no, that's basically shutting the door in our face and saying, God didn't agree with what I wanted. But the really hard one to take is what? Wait. And the problem is that we are not crazy about waiting because we are a generation of now. We live in a microwave generation. Everything is now. We want to know the answer now. I don't want to wait, God. I want to know now. The reality is this. God always answers our prayers. Even a no is an answer. Even a wait is an answer. We're not crazy about it, but it is an answer. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Verses 7 to 11. Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it'll be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks will be opened. So it tells us that if we seek and we ask and we knock, he will answer. Now, the problem we have either with a no or with a wait is that sometimes God is not answering it the way we want him to answer. Now, listen to this. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks him for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who love him or who ask him? Now, let me dovetail that with Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. The first verse we're very familiar with. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. We like that verse. Because I don't know how many times, if I've heard it once, I've heard it a million times. Don't you know that all things, God works all things for our good. All things work together for good. You know, and I agree with that. But sometimes that is hard to grab a hold of. I don't know about you, but not every time do I see things as good. Now here's why, verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined. Why? What's he going to do with us? What's it say? To be conformed to the image of his son. You see, the whole goal of God answering our prayer with a yes, a no, or a wait is not for our pleasure, but so that we can be conformed to the image of Christ. And even if he says no, we have to understand that his ultimate plan is for our good. It's hard to understand, hard to grab a hold of. sometimes we are not going to like what he's doing. Trust me. You've been there? God, I do not like what you're doing. I don't like the no. I don't like the wait. Would you please hurry up and get a move on? But the understanding is that we have, well, what we have to understand is that God always has in mind our good, not our evil. That was the illustration. Which father, if your son comes and says, give me a bread, we'll give him a stone. Or says, give me fish, we'll give him a serpent. And he said, you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children. Imagine your father in heaven who has no evil in him. And he's going to be more than willing to give you good gifts. So, when you have to wait, understand and trust his timing, because he has it all in control. Easy to see, easy to say, hard to do. But that's what we have to do. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. And you've probably heard this. Let's read this together, okay? I want to make sure you're awake. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. It should be from the beginning to the end, and I made that mistake when I gave it. I want you to underline, he has made everything beautiful in its time. And that's the whole point, folks. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, but sometimes he says, wait. He puts the caution yellow light on. We have to wait, and we have to wait, and wait. And I know as humans we get impatient, but what we need to understand is that when we are waiting, God is still working. He's waiting for the right time, the right place, and the right situation when he can answer that prayer and show us exactly what he wants. Question or statement number 3. I prayed for this before. I think God's tired of hearing about it, or he'll be mad that I keep asking. Ever said that? I have asked this question over and over and over and over, and I bet you God is so tired of me asking that question. He's going up there, go na 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 na. You know, I can't hear a thing what you're saying. The point of the matter is that's not true. Let me show you a couple passages of Scripture. Luke chapter 11 is the first one. Luke chapter 11. And some of this is a reiteration of what we've just read in Matthew. But he says, verse 5, which one of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he'll answer from within, don't bother me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. And I tell you, though, that he will not get up and give him anything but because he is his friend, yet because of his constant knocking or constant asking, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. There's another scripture in Luke chapter 18 that talks about a woman who keeps bugging a judge. And this judge finally says, I will give you what you want. A lot of people like to take those two parables and say, see, God is the judge, and he gets tired of us asking. And so if we keep bugging him, he's going to get ticked off at us. And he's going to get so mad at us that he's going to say, oh, well, here. We missed the whole point of the parables. Here's the point of the parables. Jesus taught these two parables to teach men not to be discouraged when you pray. One of the hardest things to accept is when you pray and you pray and you pray and the prayer is not answered. But what he wants us to do is to continue to be men and women who pray. We need to become men and women of prayer when we recognize a need. You see, the Greek gives us a really good picture of this. It doesn't just say ask, seek, knock, boom, you're done. It says keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Now, why would he tell us to do that? if he got ticked off at us? That makes sense, does it? He says, I want you to keep on asking. I want you to keep on seeking. I want you to keep on knocking. And I will give you good gifts. But the important thing to remember is he does not get tired of us asking. Now, we're going to see that in a little bit in another question that kind of comes up. But question number four, statement number four. I don't pray because sometimes I don't know the words to say. Been there, done that one? Anyone who's ever tried to pray more than once can say this. If you say, I have never had that problem, you're either not being honest or you're not telling the truth. Every one of us who have tried to pray have had at one time or another the inability to express ourselves. You either don't know how to pray, you don't know what to pray for, or you just get down there and you go blah, blah, blah. You know, you just don't know what to say. You're stumped. Your heart aches, but you don't know how to express it. There's a situation in your life that has just gripped you, and you just sit there and go, and all you do sometimes is cry. You are so overwhelmed and so wrought by the pain that you're feeling that you just don't know what to say. You know what happens then? God takes over. Let me show you a passage of Scripture, Romans chapter 8. And I know that most of you probably have heard this verse before, Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. I cannot add anything significant to those two verses. Those two verses basically say, when you don't know what to say and you don't know how to pray, the Spirit takes over. And sometimes when you get down on your knees, or if you're like me, you can't kneel anymore, you just sit there and groan inward. You just say, God, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to pray. I don't know what I'm supposed to pray for. That's when you say, the Spirit takes over and takes your groanings that are too deep for you to express and takes them to the Father for you. He is your intercessor. John chapter 14, verses 26 and 27. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I realize those verses in context really deal with being able to speak in defense before other people. There's a truth in that passage, that when you don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit says it for you. When you don't know how to pray, he prays for you. And sometimes the only thing you can do is say, Lord, I'm hung up. I don't know what to say. I need you to read my heart, to know my heart, because here it is. And I like that last part of that. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give unto you. You see, when you come to the Father, and you don't know what to say, and the Holy Spirit intercedes for you and takes those groanings too deep for words and takes them to the Father for you, there's a peace that comes knowing that your request has been taken before the throne. James chapter 1 says, if any man doubts, let him ask. That's me. If any man doubts, let him ask. Question number five, statement number five. It's easy to pray when things seem to be beyond our control and you need to look to God for help and guidance, when we sometimes forget to pray when everything appears to be going well. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, I have a puzzle with this, because I've been both. On one hand, you have a person who is going through a really tough time and he's really leaning on God, or she's really leaning on God, really trusting. But then when things get easy, what happens? It's easy to allow that commitment, that devotion, that relationship to give a little bit of slack, right? To slack off. On the other hand, we have this person over here who everything is going really well and they're excited about Jesus. They're really, you know, they're really on fire for him, but then things hit a bad road, things go downhill, and what's the first word we start asking? Why? How come? Lord, I've trusted you, I've worshiped you, I've given, I've done this, I've done that. How come this has happened to me? You see the both ends of the spectrum? And so they're okay when everything's good, but then when things get tough, they fall backwards. When things over here, there's somebody who's, when things are really tough, they're good. But when things get easy, they slack off. Both sides of a coin. Guess what? I've been on both of them. There have been times that, you know, that I have wrenched my heart. My heart's been wrenched, and I cry to God, and I plead with him, and I'm close to him. But the things start smoothing out, and it's easy to slack off. The other times that things have been going really well, and I think, God's blessing. This is good. I'm happy about this. And all of a sudden, the props get kicked out from underneath you, and you go, man, God, what happened here? I'm going to give you a shallow answer because we don't have the detail to get into it, but here it is. Job puts it this way. The rain falls where? On the just and the unjust. I was visiting with talking with somebody this past week, and I said, you know, and we just came into conversation, and this kind of came up. I said, whenever you have a hurricane or a flood, I don't believe that God takes his finger and he says, okay, I want this hurricane to go through, or this tornado, let's take our tornado, because we're not going to get a hurricane here, but we will get tornadoes. I want this tornado to go through this place, and this place. Oh, but when it gets to Roberta's house, we're going to skip it and go all the way around. Now, she's okay with that, but, and then we're going to go on. Nor do I believe that God says, ha, there's my child, there's the heathen, I'm going to skip my child and the heathen's going to get it. I see no scriptural justification for that. See, here's the truth. God cannot go against his own character. And the way I illustrate that, he has put certain laws into effect. The law of gravity is a certain law that you can't defy, right? Let's suppose that he decided to suspend the law of gravity for me. And I start walking on water. Get the point? All of a sudden, people are looking not at who he is, but they're looking at me. God does not arbitrarily say, that's my child, I'm going to pass them up, but this heathen over here is really going to get it. And here's the truth. Sometimes being a follower of Jesus puts us under greater trial so that we can be a tribute to him and bring glory to his name. You get that? Sometimes being a follower of Jesus puts us under greater trial so we can be a tribute to him and bring glory to his name. When we stand up under a trial, when people see our faith standing solid, we don't get the credit. Who gets the credit? God does, if we give it to him. He gets the tribute. He gets the glory. And we'll never know that if all we do is expect God to give us all good things. Sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes what I need to do more than anything else is maintain contact with the presence of God. Okay. That's the end of the questions of people from here. I want to give you two questions that came out of the blog. that I think we all struggle with. Question or statement number 6. God already knows what I'm going to say. He already knows my needs. Why should I pray? Ever asked that one? Why should I pray? God already knows what I need. God already knows where I'm at. Why in the world should I bother about it? That's a tough one. Because when you deal with that, you deal with the sovereignty of God. There are certain things that I stand firm on. One of them is God's sovereignty or God's omniscience. I believe that God knows yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But I also believe in free will. God knows my tomorrow. He knows what I'm going to do tomorrow. He knows what I'm going to do Friday. He knows what I'm going to do next year. But he gives me free will. Now, he knows what I'm going to do even though I'm going to mess up. Now, that's the point where you wish that God would say, no, Bill, don't do that. Do something else. What's that make him? A master puppeteer. But God doesn't operate like I'm a puppet. He gives me free will to make choices, although he knows the choice I'm going to make. I can't explain that any better than that. But all I know is this, is that God is in control. I'd like you to turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. God knows all. He is omniscient. He wants us to ask for wisdom. That's what he says here. If you lack wisdom, ask God. So he wants us to ask for wisdom, even though he knows our choices. But what he wants more than anything else is for us to come into his presence. And here's the truth, I think, is stands out to this. God wants us to ask him, not for him, but for us. It's not going to make God any smarter, any dumber, any wiser. It will us. It will us. And so when we have questions and when we have needs, he says pray. Because it's going to benefit us. And it's for us. Someone asked me in the first 9 o'clock service, what did it mean to be double-minded, unstable? Some of us are already unstable, but that's not what it means. Double-minded means where you pray about something and then you walk. It's like you pray for someone's salvation or someone's healing and you walk away and say, well, I doubt God will do that. It's like you pray for one thing and you turn around and doubt that he'll do it. That's what it means to be double-minded. Where you say one thing and then you walk away disbelieving what you've just prayed for. And then he says he's unstable. And the final question or statement is this. I'm praying, but it seems like either I am not getting an answer or God simply isn't listening. Been there? 2 questions to ask. Number 1, are you listening to God? Or are you looking for your own agenda? Are you listening to God or are you looking for your own agenda? You know, I know how everything ought to work out. Did you know that? I bet you're the same way, don't you? You know how everything's supposed to work out, don't you? And then he comes in and puts a wrench in your plan. What you really stated was, I know my own agenda and God's agenda is not mine. And so when I pray, sometimes I'm not hearing God because God is not answering the prayer the way I want him to answer it. I know how things ought to work. And because he doesn't answer them, I don't like his answer. That's the famous wait answer. Or even the no. And here's the next question. I talked about this last week, and I think it is really, really important. Are you harboring anything against anyone? One of the bloggers said that he and his wife had an argument. And He said, I was right, of course, but he said, we parted ways. And I was angry. I refused to forgive. And he said, I got down on my knees to pray, and I immediately got back up because I knew my prayer would not go past the ceiling. He said, I went to bed angry. It was the worst night of my life. Why is that? Because there was a barrier. And it was only when he made the relationship right with his wife that he was able to talk to God and say, here's my thoughts. You cannot harbor evil against somebody and expect God to answer your prayer. I said it last week. You cannot hate somebody and pray for them at the same time. I hate you, but I'm going to pray for you. Does that make sense? And this is why it's so important that we've really got to think this thing through. You know, we went through a tough time last year. Still going through it. The worst thing we can do is get so angry that we hate. Justice will be served. I'm going to just put it that way. Justice will be served. Let it go. God's going to take care of it. He knows the timing. He knows what's going on. I'm going to let it in his hands. Refuse to be angry. Refuse to hold a grudge. Refuse to not forgive. Because you see, if I do that, if you hold a grudge, if you hate somebody, they own you. They own you. And you know what? There's only one person I want to own me, and that's him. Let it go, folks. Let it go. Well, there are some more statements and questions. They're not in your bulletin. I asked Joe to put them on the board. These are some more that came through the blog. And they're going to come up here. And maybe somewhere down the road, we'll deal with them again. Look at some of them and see if some of them don't apply to you. A lack of priority given to prayer. That's part of the problem, is we don't make it a priority. We don't say, let's pray. I didn't spend time with him. I don't feel like spending time with him. Pride and a refusal to accept the ways of God. This goes back to the yes, no, and wait a while, but this is another part of that, is I'm not gonna accept God's ways. A wandering mind. Anybody got a wandering mind when you try to pray? Yeah, I'm probably the king of the wanderers here. I'm not ADHD or ADD, but man, I have a hard time just focusing on prayer sometimes, you know? My mind just goes, I go to pray and it's like, chung, chung, chung. It's everywhere, you know? It's awful. And so one of the things I do is that I don't feel like praying. We simply don't care. I don't care if I pray or not. It's not important to me. We have a wrong perception of prayer. What is prayer? And we're going to get to that in the very last one that's given. Why bother pray if God's not going to pay any attention and help us? And then the final one, and here's the wrong perception, our prayers are often nothing more than a list. Some people have called it the never-ending shopping list. God, I want this, and 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 want this. And we forget to honor him, we forget to worship him, we forget to exalt him, we forget to respect him, we forget to thank him for who he is. But instead, immediately, it's God, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this. We need to intercede for other people. It's not just about us. It's about others as well. Well, those are the questions and statements. And I believe that we've gone to the scriptures and we've shown the scriptures that God has the answers to our prayers. He has the answers to our questions. And so I have only touched the hem of the garment of all the questions that we could ask. And I know that I am not the answer man. And there are a lot more questions probably that come out of that than what I've been able to give you the answers for. And yet, though, here's the thing. Don't stop praying just because you have questions. Don't stop praying just because you have doubts. Don't stop praying because you think he won't listen to you, or don't stop praying because, well, he's not going to answer me. There's always an answer to prayer. A yes, a no, and a wait. Sometimes it simply says, God, I know that you're asking me to wait. All I ask is for grace to wait, that I will hear your answer. The important thing is this: make prayer a priority. Make it something that you make a conscious effort to do. Whether it's to get on your knees, whether to do it while you're driving, whether it's to do it, you know, sitting in a chair by yourself, sitting out on the back deck. It's kind of cold to do that now, but sitting out on the back deck and looking, walking through the woods, however you can pray, you make it a priority to do that. And you talk to God. He is more than just a guy up there. Remember the story I told last week about the guy who had the chair right next to his bed? See God as the person who's right there, whom you can talk to and share with, laugh with, cry with, open up to. And you'll find prayer opening up in a whole way that you never, ever dreamed possible. Let's pray. And Father, I pray that you will help us to realize the importance and the priority that we should place upon this often forgotten discipline. I know we have questions, and I'm not really sure I was able to answer them adequately, but your word has promised us that if we lack wisdom, all we need to do is ask you, and you give generously to all. You don't get tired of us. You don't sit there and go, oh man, you've asked that 1,000 times before. When are you gonna? How come you're still asking 1,001? But Father, draw our hearts to you. Help us to remember how important it is simply to be in your presence. Convince us and teach us how important it is to pray and to make prayer a priority in our life. Thank you, Father, for giving us an avenue to talk to you. And if there's something on our hearts, Lord, help us to take it to you and show us your answer. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing this song.